Good morning, Rabbi Sai. So before Purim, I hope everybody had a good Purim and that you're ready for a continuation of the learning into the next session. So, it's actually heartening to see so many people here this morning. You know, I think that everybody's got the hangover or they're tired or whatever. Baruch Hashem. Kanayin Hara. Okay, so we were talking about whether or not women are mechuyev in Parshas Korah. Even those who hold that Parshas Zohar, women are mechuyev, and even those who hold that Parshas Korah is also chiyuv d'oraisa, as we discussed, because of Zchayal Tishkach Eitz Hashem Tzavtos Hashem Elokecha Bamidbar. Aval Bikein, is there a chiyuv for women? So one tzad that we discussed on, what was today? Today is Wednesday. So one tzad that we discussed on Monday was that the women didn't take part in the Chet HaEgel. And if Parshas Poro is coming as a kapora for the Chet HaEgel, then the women don't need that kapora, and therefore they shouldn't have to be part of it, and they shouldn't have to attend the reading of Parshas Poro. That's one sad, that they were not involved, therefore they don't have to be involved in it. On the other hand, we started saying that the reason why we do it 3 weeks beforehand is in order to give us a chance to get to Yerushalayim and to have a week of Tahara, that if anybody is Tomei Meis, then they can they have a 7-day process with Hazor of the Parah Adumah on the 3rd and the 7th day, and then there will be Tahara in time for Erev Pesach for the Korban Pesach. So it was only the men that went into the Beis HaMikdosh. It was the men who entered the Azorah. It was the men who attended the Shechita of the Korban Pesach. So one tzad says that there again, there's another reason why only the men should be involved in listening to Parshas Poroh. And the other tzad says, no, the women have to eat the Korban Pesach. And in order to eat Kodshim, yeah, it says, Abchoy v'amaso v'pesach kodoshim kalim, that the Pesach is Kodshim. And you have to eat it within the walls of Yerushalayim, and you have to eat it by Chatzos, but it's eaten by men, women, and I presume children as well. And if it's eaten by men and women, then the women have to be Tohirois as well. If a woman is Tomei Meis for whatever reason, then she would have to purify herself. I was just thinking on the way here, I was wondering, I don't know what happens if a lady is a Nido on the night of Pesach, whether or not she would have a... She would be. I don't know whether it's only a Peturin Tumas Meis that the what's it called? Because then, if a person is Tomei Meis, then they've got a possibility.
Because they might be Nidah.
Well, is that a reason why, or is it because
the reason why they don't have Pesach Sheni either?
Oh, so they don't have Pesach Sheni either. What happens if a lady is Tomei Meis on the night of Pesach? Yeah, she was involved in a Tahara, whatever it is, she's on the Chevra Kadisha, and she was involved in a Tahara, and on the night of Pesach, Bizman HaMikdosh, she was Tomei or Meis. Yeah, would she then have the opportunity to eat Korban Pesach, Pesach Sheni, or there's no Pesach Sheni for ladies at all? I do not know the answer to that.
She doesn't have an obligation to Pesach Sheni at all.
Well, I'm assuming that, and I'm assuming that that's possible. I don't know the answer. Something to look up. The same thing if she's a member of a family, but she has some other tumor. Yeah, so she's had other tumor. Has a possibility tumor. Snidor, you know, Zivo, there's other things there. Metzoyro, there are other things that a person can be tomei for. So is the problem only tumas meis or not? In any event, I'll call upon him the consensus of the poskim is that women do not have to hear Parshas Poroh. The consensus of the majority of the poskim, although it brings down from Mikroi Kodesh that he brings down Mechochom Echod, who wrote that Kivin Shaparshas Poroh Oisekes Ptaharosan Shal Yisrael Hashem Korban Pesach Gam Noshi Chayovos B'Korban Pesach Lochei Chayovos B'Kriyazu. But that's one achron who brings one daya, Vashem Chochom Echot. I haven't looked it up inside. I don't know whether or not he names the Chochom Echot. I'll call upon him. So that would be the discussion as to whether or not in Pashtus, even those who hold that women are Mechuyev and Parshas Zohar, women don't have to come and hear Shabbos Parshas Poroh. I suppose if women are in shul anyway and they hear Parshas Poroh, they could be mechaved to be out to the mitzvah, according to those opinions that hold that they have a chiyuv to hear Parshas Poroh. Okay, why not? If you're in shul anyway and you're hearing Parshas Poroh, then why not be mechaven that according to those shittas, I would like to be yotzer. I heard yesterday of a community, unfortunately a tzibur in the provinces that used to have a nice big shul, and they used to have a big kehila. Unfortunately, with the years, the kehila's dwindled, and they don't actually have a rov at the moment. Yesterday, they said half halal with a brocha. The person who was davening farnomad thought that, you know, on Purim one says halal, and he started off the brocha, and everybody assumed he was right, and the whole tzibur said half halal with a brocha, and they didn't realize that one doesn't say halal on. The Gemara says, why don't we say Halel on Purim? Because Kriya Samagila Zuhi Hilulo.
Yeah? Because it was a Nes, which was Nes, in Eretz
Yisrael. Nes Shabbachutz Loretz. There are various reasons brought down, but in any event, because of it's possible for a Tzibur to make a mistake. Now, what happens if in Parshas Poro, the Tzibur makes a mistake, and they don't line the entire Parsha right through to the end of the Parshas Poro? Everybody knows Venosan Olov Mayim Chayim El Keli. Everybody knows that phrase. Yeah, people sing it. That is Sheni when you're lining Parshas Chukas. Yeah, but it's not the end of Parshas Poro. Parshas Poro continues halfway into the gap between Sheni and Shlishi, and therefore it's possible that you might get a Kehila that would line Parshas Poro, and the Baal Kori would finish Mayim Chayim El Keli, and they think they've been Yoitzer. So the question is, if they think they've been Yoitza and it's shorter, yeah, they haven't said the entire Parsha, how much of the Parsha, it's quite a long Parsha, how much of the Parsha do you have to say in order to be able to say we've been Yoitza, and although we finished early, we don't have to go back? And that, later, we will bring the shittas tomorrow morning. Well, I'm glad you've got no idea. Yeah, he said, I've got no idea, so we'll try and give you an idea tomorrow morning.
You didn't mention
Mayim
Chaim El
Kelly's
the first
reference
to Irish whiskey.
You know
that
Mayim Chaim El Kelly, the first known reference to Irish whiskey.
No.
Kelly.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you.
Oh, right. Thank you very much.
Tapped it upside down.
Started at Torreway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Shushan Purim, 15th of Adar, 4th of March, Rabbi Emmanuel Danan, Shlita Rosh Chabura Hendada. The Oren, 4 or 8 rings, 2 or 4 poles. This week's Torah sponsored in Nishmas Gabriel Ben Yosef Dobbs, the Chronicle of Rochas Yatzad, is Yud Zayin Adar. Ole Nishmas, our esteemed founder, it's not working yet.
Good morning, Morav and Abaisai. Seeing that this is the parsha of these are parshas of the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, the Tzivui, and the carrying out of that Tzivui, I thought, speaking of sharing with you some words which I hope you will find informative and exciting, and hopefully we can be mekayim. Ten lechacham v'yech kamoid. This is I'm just coincidence. There's no coincidence in life, but I just happened to be learning this, and I just, it's amazing how you start with one thing, you're not even looking for it, and then suddenly you're swimming in new territory, and there's the more you delve into it, the more you realize how much there is. I don't know why, till this year, I always learned the apostle in one way, and that is, what does anybody see strange about this? Oren. This is the Oren, right? You just got to use your imagination. It wasn't silver, it was gold. But what have I got here? How many rings have I got?
Four.
I've got four at the top. And I've got four at the bottom. What's that about? So let's read the puzzle. V'yatzakta lo'i, but min pasha struma, v'yatzakta lo'i arba taboi zod. You shall pour for the Oren, four golden rings, v'nosata l'arba pamoi zod, and place them on the four corners. Ushtei tzabois al tzoloi ayachos. Two. Ushtei. Rabbi, can you translate? Ushtei.
And two.
And two. Thank you. That's really important. And two rings on one side. Ushtei tzabois al tzoloi ashenis. Right? And another two rings on the other side. Rabbi Zai, let's look with the posuk. What is the simple pshat of the posuk? Make. How many for the corners?
Four.
And then the apostle says?
Another two.
Another two and another two, right? That's a simple translation of the Ushtei taboiz al tzalei echas. Ushtei taboiz al tzalei ashenis. Right? Sorry? Right. Oh. So Rashi straight away. Rashi, the last part of on page one. Yeah, holds exactly like you said. There was only Dalet, there was only four taboys, there was only four rings. So what about the posuk? So says Rashi, let's see Rashi inside. Pa'amoisav ketarguma zivyose. It means the corners, right? Uve'azaviyois ha'elyoinois somuch la'kapoyeris ha'isu nesunois. Shtayim ikan. And it was on the top, somuch la kapoyres, yeah, it was on the top part of the kapoyres, next to the kapoyres, the poles were slotted inside, two from one side and two from the other side, lerochvoy, that means along the width, so that the length of the oren is between them, not the way you would expect, that if you carry a long a rectangular object, you'd normally would expect to put the poles along the length. But here the Torah says, I want it on the width. And the reason for that, Rabbi Zai? Because we needed the two people carrying from behind and from in front to be within the badim. If the poles would be run along the length, there was not enough space to be inside for them to be able to carry them. So they carried it on the outside shoulder. So the one who stood on the right had it on his... No, I'm not sure. Yes. The one who sat there had it on his right shoulder. And the one who stood on the left had it on his left shoulder. So right. V'habadim nesunim bohem. Yeah? Right, then that's what Rashi says. The orko shel oren, mafsik ben abadim. We have the length of the oren, the 2.5 masayim v'chetzi ben balevat, shiyu shnei ben adam anoisim sa oren, me'alchim b'neim, so they can walk between the badim. And that's what the Gemara says in Menachos. Yeah. Now, what about... So what does Rashi told us? It was on the corners, and it was on the top part of the oren. Right? Now our Girsa says somuch lakapoyres. The Mefarshim ask on that. The Gemara seems to indicate, the Gemara in Shabbos, Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, that it shouldn't be right at the top. It should be on the third, on the top of the third. Because if a person's carrying something which is hanging on poles, normally the most efficient way of carrying it is that two-thirds of the load is below the poles, and one-third is above. In fact, it's interesting, there's a tour, Pirush HaTur HaOruch Al HaTorah, the tour as well as about the Torah, he wrote a Pirush Al HaTorah, which is al derech hapshat, and it's very nimshach after the Ramban. His goyres in Rashi beshlish ha'elyon. He actually has the girsa in Rashi that when Rashi says somuch instead of saying somuch lakabores, it says beshlish ha'elyon exactly like the Gemara. And some of the mefarshim, some of the super commentaries. What's a super commentary, Rabbi Isai?
A commentary on Rashi.
A commentary on any period. A commentary on a commentary is called a super commentary. Some of the super, Be'er Basode and Maskil Ledovid and others, they say that when Rashi says, what's the Lashon of Rashi? Somuch Lakapores, right? It doesn't say Etzel. Etzel kapores. Etzel kapores would be mashma. It's literally next to the kapores. But Rashi says somuch. So they say Rashi means within the third. Okay. Now, what about the pasuk? Ushtei tabos al tzala echas and two tabos al tzala echas. Hein arba tabos betchilas amikra. We're not adding instructions here. We're clarifying what we said. Pirush lecha heichen hayu. So where do I place these four tabas, which I told you to make, where should I put them? Two on one side and two on the other side. Vavav zu yaseiri. Yeah? And this vav is actually spare. You're to ignore this vav. And this is upisrainuk moshtei tabas. Just read the pasuk as if it doesn't have a vav. There are other examples where there's a yumayot vav. Does anybody know? In Parshas Truma, Rabbi Isai? There's a Rashi that has a Vav there that doesn't make sense. It doesn't read. And we don't have this Vav. There's a Rashi in Parshas Truma. I haven't got it yet. Rashi has got an extra Vav. And we don't have this extra Vav. Okay, so it's not such where you do find in Tanakh an extra vav. Right, okay. So, v'yeshlecha liyashva v'shtayim min ha-tabois ha'ilu ha-tzala ha-achas v'shtayim ha-ilu ha-tzala ha-shenis. Okay, tzaloi, tzela is a rib, the side of the oran, that means here being the width, that's called the side. Okay, so, question number one on Rashi is, this is the Ibn Ezra says, I've checked the whole of Tanakh, I've never seen one place that Palmov, that pay, ayin, mem, never seen anywhere that it means corners. Yeah, I've checked that. Ibn Ezra says, I challenge you to find me a place anywhere in Tanakh that palm means corners. He doesn't know where Rashi got it. Rashi is the unculus. But we don't find that Palmoisov means corners. Second of all, okay, the extra vav is a bit difficult. Thirdly, Rabbi said, if I told you on the corners of the Oran, what needs to be explained more? You know these four rings, which I told you to put on the corners, you know how to put them, two on one side and two on the other side. Two rings on each, maybe you could. Nobody would have thought that you need two rings on one corner, yeah, one underneath the other, and then on the other corner another two rings. Of course, it says arba. You wouldn't have thought that. First of all, it says arba pamisav. It says four corners. So, it's self-explanatory.
How did they call it?
Right. So here, you can put the rings. You can smelt the rings on the side here, but you can also do it on there so that the ring is sticking out. It's actually part of the thing. You could make it sticking out, coming out from there, and then that will also be a corner. The ring will be on the corner. So on that, I want the actual ring to be at the end of the side, not at the front and at the back, just sticking out towards where were the? Sorry. I told you not the middle because I've said by myself. That's the corners. So you've got, there's no half a minute, I think. So it means there's two ways of making corner rings. One's you weld it from the front and the back, and then the ring is sticking out, and one is the ring is actually on the side. And that's what the Pasuk says. That's how the Miyashim Rashi. Now, the interesting... Sorry? Corners. But Moisev, according to Rashi says, look, Rashi says, the last word, sorry. Ketargumo, the first the Rashi. Pa Moisev, Ketargumo, Ziv Yosei, it's corners. Yeah? Okay. So, what about the Kasha of the Ibn Ezra? Where do we find Pa Moisev means corners? So, there's a few suggestions, right? If you have a block and it's prone to damage, which part of a box or an object is most prone to damage? The corners, right? The corners. Pa'am means to knock, right? Pa'am, pa'amoin, a bell, yeah? A palm is because the inside clapper, the bell, the clapper, thank you. The clapper hits the, what's it called, the outside of the bell? The bell is a whole contraption. External, yeah. Surface. So, sorry?
External surface.
Yeah, okay. And that's why it's called palm. He says the reason why it's called hakor means, is associated, of course, like the makas, it's associated with damage. It means I want you to put the four rings on the corners, and they're called the corners because they're the part of the Aron which is most prone to hakot, to the damage done by being hit. So that's just a loshen, just etymology why it's called palm. The other suggestion, which is an interesting novel suggestion, is the Ralbag. The Ralbag says, what do we say? What do I mean, pam achas or pam achar pam? It's a way of denoting something is different. This has happened once, and then it happened another time. So it's dividing one thing from the other. He says, when do you know that there's two surfaces on something? When you've got a corner. If you've got round, it's all one surface. When can you tell there's a pam? There's one side and there's another side when you get to a corner, right? When you get to a corner, that's when you can see there's individual, independent sides. That's the reason why it's used the loshen of palm. It's interesting. There's a Sefer Shoshim Rabbeinu Ibn Yanach, yeah, which is one of the Bali Digduk from the beginning of the previous millennia, yeah? And he says, no, that is the meaning. Pa myself actually does mean, yeah, it's true. Just because it doesn't appear anywhere else in Tanakh, it also means corner. Okay? So, right. Okay. So, let's deal with the following problem. Look at the, on the front page, let's go back to the psukim. We've got here a pasuk in this week's next week's parashah, Parashas Vayakhel. Vayaz Betzalel es Aron. Betzalel made the Aron, and then it says Vayave es Abadim Bataboyes. He placed the Badim into the rings. Al Tzalos Aron on the side of the Aron. Lo Seis es Aron to carry the Aron. Okay, so Betzalel has already put in the poles into the Aron, right? So he's right. Then later on in Parshas Pekudei is now where they're bringing all the kelim, and they're all the kelim were ready to be used. The Mishkan was now being erected and built, and now the pasuk says Vayikach Vayiten es ha'edus el ha'oron, and he took the luchos and he put them into the Aron. And he placed the badim in the Aron. Yeah, in the Aron. That means he had built in Parshas Vayakhel. Yeah, in Parshas Vayakhel was the making of the Aron. He hasn't put the luchos yet. It's just ready to be used. Now we're waiting for the. Now it's actually happening. We're taking the kelim and making them fit for purpose. So what's he doing there? He takes, it puts the aron where it should be, yeah. And he puts the eidos. He puts the luchos. In Parashas Truma, there's a difficult Rashi says Torah, but let's learn. Eidos means he puts the luchos into the aron, and then he places the budim. Yeah. Into the Oran. What's the problem, Rabbi Isai? Huh? You're not allowed to be removed. Yeah? They're not allowed to be removed. Yeah? And not only that, even, yeah, that's, yeah. And there's just a more basic question. Why? How did you carry it, right? You had, everything was ready, the Kalim, the Mishkan was ready, now we're bringing everything inside. How did you get it inside? As we said, obviously you got to carry it with the Badim. So why the Badim out? Even without the issue of taking out the badim, why are the badim not inside? Right? Especially, you're going to leave the badim there. So, that's the question which is asked on Rashi. Right? Okay, so let's...
Why on Rashi? So, why is it a question of Rashi? It's a question of the pasuk, no?
Right. Why is it a question on Rashi? Okay, so let's go. Let's do that.
No, you just one from
the
Kutu, that's what you're asking on, no?
Correct. Good. Why am I asking on Rashi? Okay, Tosfos holds four on the top, four at the bottom. He learns a posuk, there were eight rings altogether, and how many badim? Four badim. He says four badim. There were poles which were at the bottom, yeah? They always stayed there. Those are the badim which the Torah says you're not allowed to take out. To remove, right? Those are the badim that... Right. Those badim were not placed in Parshas Vayakhel. We're not talking about those the budim that were there to be left there permanently. I haven't done that yet. You can do that at the last stage. But you need to carry the oron, right? So they use the budim at the top, yeah, to carry the oron. That was allowed to be taken out, says Tosis. You were allowed to take it out, yeah? Especially if you needed to journey, yeah? And they didn't leave it on. They didn't leave those... those badim, there were only two badim, as we know, it was stuck into the paroches. So therefore, that the badim which is spoken about in Vayakhel is the badim, the top badim, which are allowed to be taken out. They're just done for transportation. Right? And when it says in Parshas Pekudei that they put they put the badim into the Oran, it means this was the insertion of the Badim, which from now on, it may not be removed. Okay? Now, with this, we cannot... So that's why I said... But this is Tosfos. And Tosfos says, I'm learning Poshup Shai in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says there's eight rings, not four rings.
Eight rings, four Badim.
Eight rings, four Badim. Four Badim, correct. Four Badim. Did I say two? Yeah, four Badim. Two at the top. And two at the bottom.
If the badim were at the bottom, they wouldn't have stuck through.
I was thinking about that. No, so there's a few, and not necessarily, you can. It doesn't have to be right at the bottom. It can be, you know, shin height.
Towards the bottom.
One third, right. Yeah, within one third of the ground. And you can't stick it like two mountains. That's nice. Now, comes along, Rabbi Isai, there's such a problematic pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar. Look at the Parashas Bamidbar is talking about the covering of the Oron when traveling, right? So there were three covers, right? There was the Paroiches, which they took off, yeah, which divided the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadoshim. They took that off, they put that on top of the Oron. Then they had the Tachash and then the Beged. Treles, yeah, which was completely blue. Those are the three covers. And the Pasuk says, V'nosnu alav kisuk, Pasuk Vav, in Parshas Bamidbar, yeah, they shall put, on top of the parechas, put kisui or tachash skin, covering. Uparasu ger beged kelil tcheles milmala, from on top. Vesamu badav, and then insert the badim. Huh? Every time you wanted to start traveling, right? Right. And that makes sense, because how on earth, if you need to put covers, how are you going to put the covers, yeah? If, don't forget, these are not, right, the poles are, you can't put the covers if you've got, if you've got the poles in the way, you can't cover the oren properly. So, what seems to be saying, you took the badim out, you put the cover, you had little slits in the cover for the rings, right? And then you just put the poles inside. So that explains logically what it does, but what's going on? But you're not allowed to take them out of the badim. The answer is?
You're not allowed to take them out of the rings.
The ring.
Sorry, thank you. Yeah, you're not. So what's the answer, says Tosfos? Very good. We're talking about the ones which are made for transport. The ones which are at the bottom were not brought. Then we have to think about what your question. The ones which were at the bottom did not disturb the covering. So you have to, even though we're saying now it wasn't right now on the ground, it was still, it seemed to be that it doesn't, the oren is covered properly even though there's badim at the bottom.
What was the purpose of the bottom badim?
What? The badim. Because the whole idea, I mean, well, why are you not allowed to take a... The Pasuk says a few times, you know I'm making you to... I'm giving you a tzivui to make badim so you can carry the arm. And then you're telling me you're never allowed to take them out. We're going to have an arm. It's going to be there forever, right? And not take it out. And when the Torah says, but the purpose of these poles is to carry them. So, according to Tosis, it's quite good. Because there's two different things. One is for carrying, and one is for the idea, I want the poles the whole time there. Right? So that's how it is. That's why I said on Rashi. I'll just finish. Finish. So what about Rashi? Rashi clearly does not hold like that, and most Rishonim do not hold like Tosis. In fact, the Loshon of Tosis is phenomenal. This Tosis is in a Yuma Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. He says, Lule de Mistafina, if it wasn't for that, I would be so afraid of saying such a thing, such a chiddush. Because he knows, he recognizes he's saying it's such a chiddush that there's eight rings and four badim, and he knew, it's clear from Tosfos, that he didn't learn like that when he was in Cheder. So he says, I know I'm going to say a big chiddush, but I'm still going to say it. But I'm still going to say it, because this is what I honestly think. Yes, you've got a question nobody writes up before me. That's not a reason for me not to share. So how do we answer for Rashi? So there's many ways of learning Samu Bodo. So some say the Malbim and many others and the Ram and the Ibn Ezra in Parashas Bamidbar, not here, he learned, of course you're allowed to take them out for the purpose of transportation. When the Torah tells you need to cover the Oren properly. In order to cover the Oren properly, as we said, you need to take off the poles so that it covers from all sides. Yeah? And therefore, momentarily, for the purpose of the transport and for the purpose of the covering, that momentary removal of the budding, that's mutar. Others say, Samu Badov means the Kayanim, because the Kohanim was the ones who got the tzivui to cover the Oren. Who carries the Oren? Bnei. Yeah, which ones? Bnei? Kehas. Bnei Kehas. The Torah is giving a tzivui. It's not enough, you guys, for you just to do the covering. V'lo yevola is... Akodesh v'meisul. You mustn't expose them. But you have to lift up the Oren and put it on their shoulders. The Kohanim have the Samu Bodov, means place the Badim not inside the Tabois. It means you, Kohanim, have to place the Badim on the shoulders of the Oren. You have to start the process. And one more original shot is, the Chizkuni and others, Rabbi Sai, what happens if you're carrying something on a pole, and it's even, and then you're walking uphill? Or downhill, it's gonna slip, isn't it? So he says, Vesamu is Loshan Tikkun. I want you to make engravings in the poles. I want there to be engravings so that it sits into the rings and doesn't slip. That means you can lift it up. You can lift it up because they moved around. But at least during transport, you need to make it such that. Like a type of socket and an engraving inside, so you can sit. So, Rabbeisa, I will leave you with a question, and that is: but the Onan walked in front of them and flattened everything. So, how can they say you need to attack in the badim, yeah, in order that it doesn't slip, yeah? But it was straight. And yeah, that's the answer. And the right is Chazal say Oroin Noisa es Noisa. Nevertheless. We can't presume. It's amazing. Even if we've had a nace for for a long time, you don't know. So therefore, you cannot rely on a nace. That is why the Torah wants the Ora to be carried, to be carried by the people. You can't rely just on the nace. So the Chayyar here as well. But there's a Mefarish of Medrash Rabbah which says there were certain places. Yeah, the Oran actually didn't flatten, and they actually walked up. Okay, Rabbi Isai, have a great morning. Thank you for listening.
Shkaya. Very interesting.